Assets Advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. And as always, True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We're always buying and selling all forms of precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. We build rings. We don't carry, like, if you come in, we're not like a normal jewelry store where we have this huge inventory of stuff sitting around. We actually help you build stuff. We do have a huge inventory of diamonds. Obviously, we're not going to lay that out. But if you're interested, come in. We're also helping. We're doing a lot of diamonds in investment packages lately for some reason. We have a lot of GIA certified diamonds. What's going on right now with hard assets? We've got the Trump pump in the paper market. And then we've got the Trump dump in the metals, which is kind of the counter-cyclical nature of these items. And that the metals, I should say, commodities, hard assets. It's just the foolishness of the world. People flock to things out of speculation. The paper market is just inflated right now, just based on hope, which is good, because when Obama came in, remember, he had hope. He was all about hope. And what happened? The markets tanked. Trump offers hope. The markets are alive and well. The problem with the markets is they overcompensate. So in other words, when they have hope, they're already growing at what they expect to be in 2 years. It's just what people do. The big boys that make the markets know better, they make their money, they get out. The small guy, the fools, the private investors, those of you with 401ks, you either get in or stay in and you lose your tail. And so you've got to be smart. You got to be wise. To really make money in those markets, folks, you got to be agile. You don't, you know, the buy and hold philosophy, that was what they used to teach, 30, 40 years ago. Now, if you watch the market, it really goes nowhere. It sits flat. And the thing with the metals-based assets is, they might go up, they might come down, but the truth of it is, in the long run, they have an incredible track record. They've had highs, a few years back that were unbelievable, and they've corrected, which is nice, and the opportunity is ripe, and it's good. And the bottom line is with them, when you have the metals, you have the metals. If you're saving, you're saving. If you're preserving, you're preserving. And that's really what's important, I think, is that you get yourself in a financial situation where you're saving. I don't care if it's silver, gold, collectible coins, whatever it is. You get hard assets set aside and you need to save. We've got financial stewardship responsibilities to God. He put us on this earth. This earth, fortunately or unfortunately, comes with extreme financial or fiscal responsibility. It's just part of where we live. It's part of the system God created. Why? I can't tell you why. I can think of a lot of good reasons. I can think of it helps us really experience the good, the bad. It gives us consequences for behavior. It teaches us the consequences of good decisions over the long haul, benefits, rewards, abstaining from frivolity and excessive spending or whatever you want to call it, impulsiveness. When we abstain, we gain, right? And so that's all. It's all a direct reflection of God's natural law. But the thing is, God's very clear. I've said this before, that he says that man looks on the outward appearance and God looks at the heart. But we can't look at a man's heart. We just, we think we can. We say, wow, that guy has a good heart or, whatever. That's what we do. But we never really truly know, do we? But on the outside, when we see what we or someone else does with their finances, we can know a lot about that person. We can know if they're impulsive, if they're wise. We can look at where they spend their money, how they spend their money. And it really tells us an awful lot about that person. And so I believe that God made money as a tangible track record of our heart's condition. I believe he made it as a way to reward, to bless, and to curse. I think it helps us deal with a lot of things that aren't good. It helps us struggle with things like jealousy. And I'm not saying you might be going, oh, come on, God wouldn't make that. Well, God created everything. God said in the Bible, that he created good and evil. That's some pretty heavy stuff, you know, and people really struggle with that, where, you know, God basically explained that he created evil. And people are like, how can that be? The whole concept, you know, just the fact that God created light and darkness. I form the light and I create the darkness. I bring prosperity and I create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. That's in Isaiah 45. God created it all. And, you know, it may be a little over our head. It may be a little bit beyond what we can comprehend. I think it goes on when he calls Cyrus, it says, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. He gives rain and he gives drought. He does it all. And so God's big. God is not, you know, I've sat in churches, and by the way, you're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor, sponsored by Coins Plus, right? Phone number, got to plug that in there, 444-0044. That's the local Spokane number, outside toll free, 877-TAP-COIN, 877-827-2646, or through our website at coinsplus.com. I remember sitting in some Sunday schools years back, many years back, and listening to this lady teach that every bad thing comes from the devil. And she went on and on like this for weeks. And I finally said, look, that's wrong. And she didn't like that. I said, we don't need the devil. Okay, folks, you and I, we can sin on our own. This whole concept that the devil made me do it, the devil wants you to do it, the devil helps you do it, the devil never makes you do anything. You make decisions. The devil tempts you, and he will try to steal and kill and destroy. That is all he can do, okay? But he doesn't make you do anything. You choose every decision you make, and it is so imperative that you understand the free will concept. People get into this concept that God is a puppet master. Our God gave us free will. I was speaking with this young lad recently who I love, I've known for many years, and he was expressing some frustration with doubt. He had grown up in a Christian home, a good Christian home, and he is a stellar performer individual. He's an outstanding athlete, an exceptional student. He just grew up and he worked his tail off. He's all about work ethic and drive and integrity. And he went through this period of time here a little bit ago where he started to get really heavy doubts. You know, God doesn't exist and all this stuff. Well, the thing is, I told him, he got all tripped out. He felt terrible. He had this idea, like the Muslims do, that God is like Allah. He's the puppet master. And if you doubt, he's releasing his grip on you and it must be the devil. No, God made us intellectual beings, folks. We can think. We have free will. It's important you understand that and you really accept that and internalize that and realize you are in control of your life. You are in control of your destiny. God literally has a destiny for every single one of you out there. Some of you have bound yourself in the chains of guilt. Some of you, you know, you hold yourself down with sorrow, with grief, with depression. And I'm not saying there's not chemical-induced depression. Don't get me wrong. And when people say, hey, that's a bad spirit, we saw Christ heal infirmities. We did see Christ cast out demons. We don't always know which is which. But I will tell you something, folks. We are a fallen species. We have sin, the sin of Adam, if you want to call it that, within us. There is sin within us. We are decomposing. Everything is, you know, the second law of thermodynamics. Everything is going to a state of disorder. So although our spirits remain static and eternal, our bodies do not. And so chemical dysfunction for depression, absolutely. It's just like cancer. It's like people being born with all kinds of ailments. It is very real. Now, can we inflict it on ourselves? Absolutely. Bad decisions, tough life choices, loss, grief. I went through the loss of my father here recently. Best friend I had, tough stuff. And depression kind of can grab you now and then. But I'll tell you, when people struggle with this, but God can heal you from that, folks. Do not ever forget that. Your God is big, 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 big. You know, God cannot do more than you mentally allow him to do. It is absolutely mandatory that you understand that. If you put God in this little limited box, don't expect more. You know, there's scripture that says the people of Israel limited God. That says the people limited God. And what does that mean? It means that we can limit what God can do by our own limitations. Why in the world would we want God to be limited by our own weakness? How insignificant we are. You know, there's scripture, Psalms. Again and again, they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. It says they provoked the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. They pained him. And King James, it says they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They stopped God from being able to do what he can do. This is a new year, folks. This is a new year. And I'll tell you, it's time. This is a good year. It ends in a 17. That's a great number. In fact, if you add up the digits of 2017, it comes to 10. And all the years ending in 10, the divisible by 10 throughout history, are prelude years. They are major prelude years. They're years of testing and I don't want to use the word destruction, but mayhem and calamity, okay? You can go back. I haven't done it all, but I saw a little thing on it from a Jewish rabbi. 2008, we had the financial debacle, right? And you can go down that way and do all that. I don't know what 91 was, but you can go back, I'm sure, and figure it out. But it's a prelude year. It's a year of tough stuff, followed by a year of extreme testing and kind of disaster. That's just what history has shown. God is a God of numbers. There's a website called Bible Numbers for Life or something like that. I was looking through that and studying a bunch of stuff that's crazy because I have the strong math background. God is a designer, a numerical engineer, a designer far beyond our mentality. In fact, one of the bases that God uses, and this is going to be kind of tough for you, but we are created with a decimal mind. Probably it's the only base number system. There's only one more simple, and that's binary. Binary is the 0101. And basically what that means is if you have a binary number that says 10101, it's just like our number system. If our number system says, 1112, that's 1,112, that means we have 1,000, we have 1,100, we have 1,010, and we have 2 ones. And then you add that up. In binary, if it's 10101, you have 1, whatever that would be, 2. You'd have to go 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 and to get there. So it's 2 to the fifth power. So I won't do that right now. But basically, it's a simple system. But God's system, the more scientists study it, it's a base Fibonacci number, which means it's 1, and then it goes 1 plus 1 is 2. 1 plus 2 is 3. 2 plus 3 is 5. 3 plus 5 is 8. 5 plus 8 is 13. Et cetera. 8 plus 13 is 21. 21 plus 13 is 34. And it basically evolves like this. This is found everywhere in nature. I've kind of done some crazy research on it recently. If you look at the petals of a flower, they come in Fibonacci sequence. They'll have 8 or 13 or 21. That's if someone hasn't picked it off or one died and fell off. You look at the patterns of even the seeds in a sunflower. You look at the pattern of a snail shell. All of it, it's the Fibonacci sequence. Far over our head. Far, and we're using it at the base level. You start to square it and cube it and quadrant it, and it goes crazy. You get into the square roots and all that stuff. It's nuts. You start to square it, you know, you start to take a 90 degree off. Well, I won't get into that, but you can create dragonfly wings. You can create trees. I remember doing this in college mathematics. And if you, you know, you think you know math, and if you've ever done, you know, collegiate mathematics, I have a degree in it. It's extreme. It's so far beyond. If you think you know math until you study numerical differentiation and all that, you just don't even comprehend it. And you don't even comprehend it while you're studying it. You just learn how to regurgitate it and go, wow. God is a designer, a mathematical designer. Math is his language. But you can literally get formulas with variable. You can create Fibonacci-based formulas that create a tree. And you can change a variable minutely, and the tree leaves change from the maple-type leaf to the pear leaf. Literally. You can mathematically prove it. And every single tree, just like a snowflake, is different because there's so many variables. You can move one by 1/100th of a point, and it'll change the tree completely. And it'll include stray branches and all kinds of stuff. It's all mathematically programmed into the DNA. And it will never be reproduced. It's always a unique number, random number generator. So God is grand. God is great. We are just one minute part of his creation. We're the most important part of his creation. Each one of us has a destiny, folks. That's what I'm saying. It's something I've really been thinking about. And, you know, we get bound down. We get so bound down with guilt and burdens, and as the Bible says, the cares of this world. You know, the Bible throughout, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may, so by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I'm just reading random scriptures. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, etc. And it keeps going on and on like this. Doesn't it talk about this all the time? Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive. Why? That your joy may be full. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. And it goes on and on. Proverbs is, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Folks, God wants you to be joyful. He wants you to be happy. He didn't create us to carry a miserable burden. We are freed. We are liberated by Christ. It's important to understand that. Enjoy life. I did my dad's eulogy, and I talked about his enthusiasm for life every day. And he wasn't a believer his whole life. He became one maybe 20 years ago, but his enthusiasm was phenomenal. We can enjoy everything we do every day. I ran into a Christian the other day that I knew from church that didn't know I knew them. They were working in a certain capacity at a certain business, and their attitude was trash. They were being so rude and snotty to people and so cranky and abusing what little authority God had given them. And if you talked to them, what would they say? My job sucks. My life sucks. I'm broke. Life sucks. Why won't God do this? Why won't God do that? Well, let me ask you something. If you had a child that had a crappy attitude and everything you gave them, they just whined and complained and bitched and moaned and didn't do a good job with it, would you say, oh, little child, there's nothing more I want than to give you more? Of course not. You have to think rationally. God is not, he doesn't run by a different set of rules. It's not like, well, you know, if your child's really cranky and self-centered and, you know, doesn't want to make the best of things, the very best thing to do is to give them more, to treat them like a king. No. How do you treat a spoiled child? They need discipline. And I talked recently in one of my messages about the importance of discipline in the Bible. Discipline is a strengthening. It's an improvement. God disciplines us to make us better. Fortunately, we can lead the way. We can read God's word and follow it. We can improve ourselves. We can rebuke ourselves. We can use God's word to learn and not make mistakes so he doesn't have to hit us in the head with a 2x4, proverbially. Joy is what God wants us to have. Release yourself. I know there's people out there, you're like, but Kevin, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know. You just have no clue what my mother's like. You don't know what my father did to me. You don't know where I live. You don't know how bad my job is. You don't know how broke I am. You don't know that I'm bankrupt, that I can't even pay the heat. I'm behind on my heat bill and I don't have food. I know it can get tough, and God knows. And the important thing, folks, is God knows. He can do it all. And we've all, if we believe that he can, and he will. And instead of saying, can God or will God, we need to say God can and God will. We need to believe in God. We need to allow him to be God. We need to put our faith in him. What did Christ mean when he said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain? He's saying, if you just let God be God and you believe in him, he can do incredible things. There's a story I heard one time, true story, of a guy who strung, he was a tightrope walker, and he strung a rope clear across Niagara Falls. You guys might have heard about this. And he went back and forth all day. People were just watching everything. And he, you know, he went back, I can't remember. Pretty soon he was walking back and forth with a wheelbarrow. Winds were coming, you know, the water was spraying, and he just kept doing it. And pretty soon he put his kid in a wheelbarrow, and across he went and back. And then his wife, and across he went and back. And he does, and he had one guy that had been watching him all day, just cheering him on. And he went to the guy and he said, you think I can do this one more time? And the guy goes, I know you can. And he said, are you sure you think I can? The guy said, yeah, I know you can. I've been watching you do it all day. But you don't. He goes, you don't believe I can do it again. And he goes, why are you saying that? I know you can. I've watched you do it all day. You've been doing this. You can do it again, no problem. He said, then get in the wheelbarrow. And the guy says, no, that's different. And it's like, okay, then you don't believe in me. No, I believe in you. I'm just not getting in the wheelbarrow. Folks, that's how it is with God. We know he can. We know God can do whatever he wants. But do we allow him to? Do we get in the wheelbarrow? And that's what we need to do in life, folks. Get in the wheelbarrow. Let God drive us through those treacherous places. You know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not yea, though I camp in the valley of the shadow of death and build my house there. It's God knows we go through dark and hard times. That's what makes us good people. You know, I was just speaking with somebody. I'm always saying, you know, I was talking to this person or that. If you knew me, you'd understand what I mean, because that's what I do. I love to talk. But I was talking to somebody about life, and somebody has a bunch, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I remember who it is now. They've had a tough, 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 tough go of life, okay? Bad decisions, you name it. But they're with Jesus now, and, you know, they struggle. But I said, you know, those are the best people. People that are born in a Christian home, everything in their life goes perfect. They never have a problem. They never have a challenge. They just walk the walk. They talk the talk. They never really step up. They never really stand out. They don't do anything extraordinary. They're dry. There's no depth. And I'll tell you, folks, with, you know, parents, with kids, teenagers, grandparents, watching kids go off the rail, we know this society right now, our kids are being raised in a pseudo Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's face it, it's tough. But you know, the kids that seem to go off the rails the most oftentimes turn around to be the best people on earth. Those that have the fire and the drive that need to know, they need to make those decisions, they have to experience it. Those are the ones that just end up leading us in life. Even Trump, his father had to send him away to a school because he was becoming so unruly, to a military boarding school. At the time, I'm sure it was ugly to his family. It was an ugly time. It was a time of fatherly disappointment. It was a real letdown, and Trump had his share of troubles. And I'm not saying Trump's the greatest thing going, but he's just, look where he's at. The guy's a multi-billionaire, successful real estate developer, and now president of the United States. Kind of an impressive resume. I don't know about you, how yours looks, but I like his. I would think that'd be pretty respectable. And where did he come from? And people say, oh, he was born rich. Does that matter? Really? Does it matter? It doesn't change a person. It makes some things easier and some things harder. We're all put where God wants us to be put. Money isn't everything, but it is something. And we all have financial accountability to God. We've all got to make solid financial decisions as a stewardship, you know, service to God. We've got to do it. We've got to do it. It's who we are. It's why we're here. It's why he created the whole monetary system. Now, folks, if I believed that God wanted us to invest in speculative paper dollars at a time where everything is literally cyber dust, when hacking is running rampant, where identity theft is gone wild, if I believed that God wanted us to immerse ourselves in that, I would tell you, immerse yourself in that. When I read Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18, and I read, come out of her, my people, I think that God literally means that. I think that when you go through, and I don't know how many people heard me do this, I've mentioned over and over, I believe at this point in history, from everything I know and from what I've seen, it appears that the collapse of the trade towers was the mystery Babylon. It just does, okay? I mean, you go back through 17 briefly, you know, it goes into the kings and the fallen and the there was and there wasn't. And then it talks about, you know, there's one purpose, they give power and authority to the beast, and then it goes, these will wage war against the Lamb will overcome them because he's Lord of Kings. This is all one big picture of what's going to happen in time. We're coming up now possibly on Armageddon. Obama's doing everything to get it rolling by putting through these sanctions or refusing to accept Obama or Israel's existence again through the United Nations. Saying they're trespassers on a minuscule sliver of land. Folks, that is hot stuff. But I'll tell you what, it says they're going to wage war, and it says, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, a melting pot, okay? New York's a melting pot. Agreed? I think we all agree, New York's a melting pot. The beast, I go back up into 17, the beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not, and will come. Now, the beast system in the Bible is it's a system. It's a religious system, and it's a bad one if it's a beast. It's a powerful thing. There was Baal worship, it went away, and it came back. It came back with Muhammad when he chose Allah, when he went to Mecca, looking for a religion to empower, a God to empower him to crush Christians and Jews because of his oppression and blah, blah, blah. He was a crazy marauder. He was married to a 9-year-old. He didn't have sexual relations with her, I think it was, until she was 10. You know, I mean, he's a pervert. He's a bad guy. He says terrible things. He's perverted. God has put it in their hearts, it says, the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and burn her up with fire. This is as we head in. God has put it into their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. That's how 17 ends. Then you get to Revelations 18. Then it says, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. The earth was illuminated with his glory. He cried out with a mighty voice. Now, I'm going to buzz through this real quick. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. So there's two. Boom, boom. She's become a dwelling place of demons and it's and so on. For all the nations have drunk, all the nations on the earth have drunk the wine of the passion of her immorality. The kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. I mean, is that not who we have become? Is that not what we represent to the world? If you don't think so, go watch TV and then go watch it overseas. And then watch the immorality that we peddle throughout the world, especially prior to 9/11. But it's still going on. Then it says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. Do not participate in this system. This is a hard scripture. What is the system? It's like a fiat currency system. It's not real. It's not biblical. And it's a tough one. For her sins have piled up as high as the heavens, and God has remembered her iniquities. So now we've got a double event with something very tall. Pay her back even as she is paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. So there's another double event. In the cup which she has mixed twice as much for her. So it says we've created destruction. I'm talking Mystery Babylon is... It's like an epicenter. You've got the World Trade Centers, and right around that, you have the financial district of the entire globe, the New York Financial District, where the Fed is seated. Outside of that is New York, and then the nation. And there's kind of a ripple effect. The attacks were on the trade centers. Right outside of that, it affected the financial district, which affected New York, the largest port city in the world. For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come. So this double event with something tall is going to happen on one day, and it's going to be a double event. And it says, to the degree she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and I will never see mourning. Now, how did that sit as a queen without being a widow? Well, we know what the United States is. It's a democratic republic. It's based on liberty. Miss Liberty, Miss Wisdom. There's no king. We sit as a queen. We don't have a king. It's not because the king died. It's because we broke away. But I remember specifically when 9/11 hit saying, not in America, not us. And it says that you think, I will never see mourning. You know, and it says, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously is pronounced straineo in Greek. It means to be wanton and live luxuriously, which is exactly what we do. We're the richest nation on earth. And that richness has been hubbed from our financial excess, our fiat currency. We pump money out of thin air, folks. Thin air. It's not real. And you go, well, if it isn't real, then how the heck does it work? It's called faith. And there's a lot of people in the world to deceive, and it can keep going and going and going, and the debt goes. It's a system that's going to work. It's a huge wind-up toy. And it will go and go and go and go and go. And but when it comes down, folks, bar the door. It reminds me, when I was in banking before they changed technology, we used to have people run a scam. And they would actually write a check, okay? And this, don't try this, it won't work now. But back in the day, you could put a couple grand in a bank. Then you write a $2,000 check to bank number two. And off of bank number two, and you wait about a day on each one. And okay, so you put $2,000 in bank one, and then the next day you write a $2,000 check to your account in bank two, and the next day you write a $2,000 check to your account in bank three. And then the next day you write an account, you write a $2,000 check from bank three to bank one. And then you write a $4,000 check from bank one to bank two, and you just keep writing them and writing them and writing them, and you spiral up and up and up, and people would literally get these bank accounts built up. The checks were chasing checks. They never bounced. And they would do this until they literally had a substantial amount of money in every single account. And then they would cash them all out really fast and get cashier's checks and vaporize. That was going on in the early 90s. It didn't happen a lot, but it happened enough. This is what our system is all about. It is a big, we literally issue bonds to back debt payback. We pay back debt with bonds, and bonds are debt. And I mean, it just, folks, it's crazy. It's nuts. Our system, it's flawed. And it's not, it just can't work permanently. It can't. It is a fraud, and frauds end suddenly. So going back to the Mystery Babylon event. It says, like I said, for this reason, in one day her plagues will come. And it says, pestilence and mourning and famine, she'll be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. So you got a double event on something tall that happens in one day with fire. Okay. So far, and it has the kings of the earth getting rich from immorality, sensuality, and, you know, committing sin. And then it says, standing at a distance. Let's see. Okay, so here we go. For this reason, one day. Okay, and then on Revelations 18:9, and the kings of the earth who committed acts of adultery or immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. So now we got smoke. There was a ton of that, wasn't there? Standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment. So saying, whoa, whoa, the great city. Now we know it's a city. It's being applied to a city, Babylon, the strong city. For in 1 hour, your judgment has come. We're back to one. Now we're down to 1 hour. So now we've got an event that happened. Here, let me go down. You got a double event with something very tall piled up to the heavens that is in one day. No, 1 hour. So it goes from one day to 1 hour. It has to do with fire, smoke. It affects a city, a strong city. And it's, you know, it's a city that interacted with all the kings of the earth, that traded with them, and peddled immorality to them. Folks, I'll tell you, when you go around the world, everywhere you go, everyone I've ever met of significance has been to New York. They've been there. They've bought. They've traded. Business people do their business in New York. The World Trade Center's represented every economy on earth. The GDP of the businesses represented in the World Trade Center was larger than any on earth. I mean, it included the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, you know, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, you name it. Credit Suisse. They were all there. Everybody was there. The Bank of Israel. All of them. And it says they stood at a distance and they saw this city burn down. And this city is called Babylon. Why? What was Babylon? Babylon was this great city around the time of Daniel. It was a huge, thriving, mega financial metropolis, and it was located in Iraq. And then you get into the whole concept, and it was peddling immorality. At one point, it ruled the earth. It was the superpower for a couple hundred years, I think. And it was everything. It was having innovation and creation, and at first it represented everything wonderful and beautiful and good. And then it started to peddle immorality and arrogance around the earth. And the Jews started to dislike it because it didn't like them. And it was a rough ruler. It wasn't fair. It was immoral. And eventually they captured the Jews, and you know about Daniel and all that. But eventually God destroyed it. And we know that story as well. But Babylon now is where? Okay, you got two choices. People say, well, Mystery Babylon is back in Iraq. They're going to rebuild Babylon. Okay, who controls Iraq? That's us. If it's here, that's us. But the thing is, it tells us it's a melting pot. We know that wherever this city is, it's a melting pot. It's mixed with many, many people. And we know that it's on many waters. We know that it's a multi prophecy. It's got people, and it's surrounded by water. New York, I don't know if you know, is an island. So it says, the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. So it's a city that was a huge consumer. Well, I hate to break the news to you, but you got a double-edged sword there. New York was the largest consumptive city in the world, number one. Number two, it was the port city for the United States of America, but probably number one, the other one should have been 1A. Real number one is the World Trade Centers. What do they represent? Trade. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one, what, trades with them anymore. World Trade Center's gone. Then it tells us, this is where it gets interesting, cargoes of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, and purple, and scarlet, and silk, which is interesting to me real quick, because when you go fine linen, purple, and scarlet, you've got red, white, and blue, simply. Linen is white, purple is the royal blue that we use on our flag, and scarlet is red. That's just a quick little thing there. But it's also the materials. The good materials that are getting used, the fine linen, the purples, the silks, the scarlets, the really nice velvets, and the sulfur-dyed wool, and all this stuff comes to America. And every kind of citron wood, and every article of ivory, and every article made from very costly wood, and bronze, and iron, and marble. Now, what city is consuming gold and silver? By the way, coincidentally, guess where the largest storehouse of gold and silver was on planet Earth? Oh, yeah, under the World Trade Centers. That's where the COMEX stored their precious metals. So that's the first thing mentioned by God in the scripture here. And it also, you may not know this, but New York is the Diamond District, the Precious Stone District. People think Israel's the diamond. No, Israel's a big diamond country, but nothing compared to New York. Fine linen and all the fine clothing and what the fashion industry is there and every kind of wood, all the incredible buildings in the whole United States, folks, we consume beautiful things. And every ivory and articles made from very costly wood, bronze and iron and marble, we've got it all over the United States, folks. And then we get into the cinnamon and the spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle. We had gotten where we're importing all of our cattle and sheep. And that's what it says, cattle and sheep. Then it gets even weirder. It says cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. But here's something interesting I want you to understand. When it talks about the word chariots, okay, and this is the truth, I'm not making this up. I'm going to find the word here for you. The word in Greek is rede. Okay, here's what it says. A type of vehicle. Okay, it says in Greek as a definition. It says a special chariot. A special type of vehicle having four wheels. So this prophecy written 2,000 years ago, says when Mystery Babylon goes down, this trade center in a city who trades with all the merchants of the earth is going to be trading in some special four-wheeled vehicle. Well, when this was written, cars had not been invented. But somebody, John, who wrote the book of Revelation, saw it. Or the angel told him. Horses and chariots, slaves and human lives. You think slaves and human lives. Well, folks, look at the big picture of America. The largest, there was a period of time, if you take it from start to finish, we've hands down been the largest consumers of slaves in the history of the world, bar none, okay? I don't know if the angel saw the big picture there, but that's very possible because the slaves still roam our areas. But what does it mean, human lives? I mean, we've got, we participate in sex slave trade and all that too. But we also, there's other translations that mean this, the souls of human lives. And there's a bunch of different ways to perceive that. I can't tell you exactly what it is, but it uses the word psyche. And you know, anthropos psyche is the Greek, which means it's the spirit, it's the mind, it's the heart of man. And there's so many different ways to translate that. Number one, when you are born, you are collateral for debt in this country. You are bound by debt until you die in America. You will work until you die. You are a bond servant of our system. We have taxed, we have brought on everything so wrong. In the liberal mindset, the socialistic mindset, socialism, it's taken us over. You are not fully free in America. If you think you are, stop paying your rent, stop paying your house payment, stop paying your car payment, see what happens. Stop working. Where are you going to live? You know, and there are countries where there's poor people that don't have a place to live. That doesn't mean it's good, but it's different than our system. We have, even so, if you're homeless here, you're going to be bound to a system. You're going to have to, you know, if you're on welfare, you got to measure up. You got to meet all their requirements and show them your financial status. It's just the way we are. That's one concept. Human lives, we've got the medicine. We've got all of it. I don't know what it is. But anyway, let's go on. It says the fruit, this is where we're going through Mystery Babylon relative to the collapse of the World Trade Centers in 2001. And so far we've got a double event with something very tall with the sins piled to heaven that happens in one day and then it converts to 1 hour. And it includes fire, smoke. It's a strong city that's a melting pot of many different nationalities, which is exactly what New York is. And it's a huge consumer of pretty much everything on earth that has been associating or trading with all of the leaders, all the other countries, and peddling immorality and sensuality and disavowing other people's religions and so on and so forth. So far, looking interesting. Then it says, the fruit you long for is gone from you. Now, what is the fruit? Have you ever heard of New York called the Big Apple? Okay, so the fruit you long for is gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. Well, go to the World Trade Center. It's never been rebuilt. And they said, woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed. Now, this is important. Listen to this, folks. The great city who was clothed in fine linen, purple, and scarlet. Okay, fine linen is white. Purple is the dye from the snail shell, which basically created royal blue or purple. They're confused even on what garb the ancient temple priests wore. So in the temple society, they've built two colors, a dark, deep purple and a deep, dark blue. And if you look at our flag, it's a deep bluish purple. So it's a red, white, and blue. It says that this city was clothed in fine linen, purple, and scarlet, white, blue, and red, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. And if you've been to New York, you'd get that. In 1 hour now, we already know, 1 hour, such great wealth has been laid waste, and every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood as a distance. So we know the city's trading. And they were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city was like this great city? Nothing in the history of the world's been like New York. The tallest buildings, the biggest, most massive, incredible metropolis and wealth center you can imagine. Unbelievable if you've been there. Every possible thing you can imagine exists. There's things I like about it. What kind of food you like? Walk two blocks, you got it. And they were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning. What city was like this great city? And they threw the dust on their heads, which if you know the dust from the Trade Tower explosion, by the way, not a collapse, absolute dust beyond the wildest dreams. That's from the explosion. They threw dust on their heads and they were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she's been laid waste. Now, I don't know if you know this, but from the collapse of Trade Center 1 to Trade Center 2 was 56 minutes. So less than 1 hour. Rejoice. And then it's basically saying, and then it goes on and it says, this is an interesting part. Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone, which is like 6 tons, threw it into the sea. Now remember, threw it down into the sea and said, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. Okay, so this angel throws this huge stone down, crashes it in the sea, and says, this is how Mystery Babylon's going down. What city's ever been thrown down, folks? Thrown down and to never be seen again. And you go, well, they built the Freedom Center. Well, the Freedom Tower is a couple blocks over, folks. Where the Trade Centers were is empty. There's a big hole there with water in it and waterfalls. There, it's never, ever been rebuilt again. And there's a couple times in this I really didn't get into it. It prophesied, not, you know, all these things will never be heard in her ever again. And it even says at one point in 23, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery, and you know, pharmakia and sorcery, the words are interchangeable. We've got the huge drug thing we peddled the world, but we've also got the whole sorcery. We've got the lack of, you know, godliness. We've become pantheistic and all that stuff. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. And so the guilt of that rested on World Trade Center, maybe because of the impure, unholy financial relationship, you know, system, fiat currency, whatever. But I'll tell you, folks, to me, and that's at the end of the Bible. And then after that, heaven rejoices. And you got to remember, Revelation is not chronological. There are visions that John had in a certain order. And what chronological to us isn't maybe chronological to God, you know. But it's just something to really consider. So that's how we got where we're at today. This is when the world changed. This is how we got to the point where we had a president called Barack Hussein Obama. So, I mean, we became tolerant of Muslims. You know, beware when you help a brother out of his sin, lest you fall into it yourself. And we became numb, tolerant of a religion that is utterly opposed to the American way. The American way, like it or not, is built on Judeo-Christian basis, foundation, ethics, biblical beliefs. That's who we are. And anything that, you know, that jeopardizes that is a threat. And to have a president who is a Muslim, socialist, Marxist is a threat. He's done great destruction to the roots and fabric of this nation. How do we get there? Deception. We have the media. Karl Marx prophesied, Karl Marx recommended propaganda, using the media to deceive the people. Well, boy, have they perfected that, have they not? They've perfected it in a large, large, wholesome, wholehearted, wholesale way. They're controlling us with the media, folks. So I'm telling you, I believe that this is when the world turned. Now, you can watch videos, 911 mysteries and things like this on YouTube and study that event. There are so many unanswered questions. It is a mess. It is a mess. But it's designed. God allowed it. And he said that. He put it in their hearts and he allowed it to happen until until his time was fulfilled. God has a plan. He's in control of all things. And every one of us has had events happen where it's like, God's real, man. He did that. There's no way that could be a coincidence. I could tell you more stories, but I don't have time. But just realize, folks, that to me makes good sense. And to you, it may not. I know some people think it's the Catholic Church, but it requires 2-inch-thick books to explain what I just explained to you in 25 minutes, I think is pretty simple. It's also important there's not one scripture that I ignored. I don't ignore scriptures that don't fit. Every single scripture confirms the same thing over and over. I believe Mystery Babylon was the World Trade Centers. I believe that that's why the world's where it's at today. And I think that God's time is different than our time, but we are heading towards Armageddon now. And Trump may be in place for a very good reason. And it is a new year, folks. 401k rollouts, give us a call. It's a time, beautiful time, best buying opportunity. Your paper should be high. Your metals are low. You can make a good buy. Taxes aren't due for a year and a half almost. Trump's going to lower the tax rate. Everything's beautiful. This is the time to get your metals or get your money out of your 401k or IRA. The taxes won't be due till 2018, and the tax rate will be different. So give us a call, 444-0044, outside, toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN, 877-827-2646, or through the website at coinsplus.com, or we have all of our previously recorded radio shows, which haven't been going up a lot lately because I've been gone a lot. But I believe I'm back for a while. So thank you again. I do sincerely appreciate your support. I know there's been some reruns of some shows that weren't that my best. That's a topic for another day. But I'm telling you, folks, this is just, there's really not a better time to get your hands, get a portfolio built. We specialize in it, been doing it for decades. Our clients do well. And so thank you once again. Take care. God bless. We'll be back Friday. Bye-bye.